The following presentation was made available by Inspiration Express as part of the daily Kitzur Shulchan Aruch calendar program. There are many more free lectures and resources available at www.kitzur365.org. Today's lecture is given by Rabbi Dov Lev.
We are now learning Simon Gimel of the laws of Trumos and Maisros that can be found at the back of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Halacha Aleph. We're discussing Trumos here. Truma Gedola Utrumas Maiser Basmanazer Asuros Afla Kohen. Once Truma Gedola and Trumas Maiser is separated, today it is forbidden even to be consumed by a Kohen. Let's backtrack here a little bit. Truma Gedola, or what's often just simply known as teruma, is the produce that is separated from anything that grew in Eretz Yisrael in the first 6 years of the 7 year cycle, and it is given to a Kohen. Trumas Maiser, which is sometimes known also as Maiser Minha Maiser, is what a Levi has to separate from the Maiser Rishon that he receives from the Yisrael, and he separates 10% of that, and it is given to a Kohen. So again, we have Truma Gedola and Terumas Maiser. Both of them are meant to be given to a Kohen. However, the Halacha is teaching us that today it is forbidden for them to be consumed even by a Kohen. Why is that? Because Teruma Gedola and Terumas Maiser have Kedusha, they have sanctity to them, and therefore they can only be eaten in a state of purity, meaning that both the food must be Tahar and the Kohen must be Tahar. If the Kohen is Tahar, he can eat it, or it can be consumed by the family of the Kohen if they are Tahar. However, today it is assumed that since we are not careful to keep away from the tumma of a corpse, we assume that everyone is in a state of tumma, including the Kohanim, in which case no one is allowed to consume the teruma or terumas maaser. So what is supposed to be done with it? Teruma tahora, if the teruma itself is tahar, then teuna kvura, then it requires burial. The asur litama, and it is forbidden to purposefully make it tame. Vehatumeya, but if the teruma is tame, teuna srefa, then it must be burnt. And he says in brackets, v'yesh litna lekohen, it is also acceptable to give it to a Kohen so that sheyehena mimeno bisreifasa, in a way that the Kohen can benefit from it while it is being burnt. Which means, for example, let's say we have oil, which is teruma, so the Kohen can burn it in a way that the oil will be used as fuel, and then he can benefit from the fire. Uladas chazon ish ein litna bezmanazeh. But according to the opinion of the Chazon Ish, it may not be given to a Kohen today to benefit from, even while it's being burnt. Now, what happens if a person cannot burn it? Ein lo efsherut lisreifa. If it cannot be burnt, then kovra, it can also be buried. So, just to review, teruma and terumas maaser may not be consumed by anyone today, not by a Kohen, nor by anyone else. And it would either have to be burnt or buried. The reason, by the way, that Truma Tahora, that if it is pure, that it has to be buried, is because we want to make sure that no one consumes it against the Halacha. Halacha Beis, B'Shem Chazon Ish Kosvil, they write in the name of the Chazon Ish, Shehoyamore, that he would teach people, La'atof es hatrumos, to wrap the terumos, meaning any type of teruma, whether tahoros o tumeos, whether it is pure or it is tame, ulesimam bifacha ashba, and then it can be placed into a garbage can. Now the reason why it is being wrapped is so that the food should not be denigrated. Remember that this food has kedusha to it. Even if it is tame, the food has kedusha to it. And therefore, it is inappropriate for the food to be in contact with repugnant things in the garbage. So consequently, it should be wrapped before being placed in the garbage. V'es ha-mashkim, and any liquid, lishboch al-karka, so it could be poured onto the ground, onto a dirt floor, v'lo lakiyar, and not into the sink, mipnei ha-bizayon, because that is disgraceful for it to be poured down. Halacha Gimel. So now we will discuss Maaser Rishon. Now just to review, we previously defined tevel as being any produce of which there's a requirement to separate terumos and maaseros. However, the terumos and maaseros were not yet taken from it. Now what happens if some of the requirements of terumos and maaseros were taken but not others? In this case, it would still be classified as tevel. So the halacha is going to tell us like this: Maaser Rishon hu bichlal tevel. After we separate Maaser Rishon, meaning we take off a portion to be given to the Levi, even that portion is still in the category of tevel. Ad sheyafish mimeno asiris terumas maaser, until we separate from it a tenth to be terumas maaser, meaning to be given to a Kohen. Now what's interesting is we're going to find that the separating of terumas maaser is not necessarily need to be the obligation of the Levi. At times the Yisrael could do it as well. And in fact, at times the Yisrael will be required to do so. Acha shehifrish, after the terumas maaser has been separated, hutar isuro, so then that has released the maaser rishon from its prohibition, and now it is no longer classified as tevel. Ukeshe me'aser tevel vadai, and when one is tithing some produce which is absolute tevel, meaning that there's no question that it has a requirement to separate Chumas and Maisers from it, Sarach Loses as a Maiser Rishon the Levi, he would need to give the Maiser Rishon to the Levi. I mean, there's no doubt that it certainly has to be given to the Levi. Uladas Chazon Ish Ein Loses Bizmanazah. However, according to the position of the Chazon Ish, it is not necessary to give it to the Levi today. Af imlonos on the Levi, even if, according to any opinions, even if he did not give it to the Levi, yotzo haperos mitivlam, the fruits have gone out of the status of being tevel. Now this requires some explanation. It seems that in the mitzvahs of chumas and maaseros, there's two different elements. There's the concept of being mafrish, of separating the various chumas and maaseros out of the produce, and then there's a second issue of giving it over to the necessary party, meaning either the Kohen or a Levi or the poor person. Now, in order to take the food out of the status of being tevel, it is only necessary to do that first stage, meaning to separate that which would be chuma or maaser from the food. And even though it is not yet given to the Kohen or the Levi or the Ani, nevertheless, we would still say that it is not tevel and the food itself may be eaten by anyone, the sink. Now, in the event that one has suffic tevel, meaning that there's a doubt as to whether it is necessary to separate trumas and maaseros from it. So then the procedure is a little bit different, and that has to be discussed in a later siman. But right now he was just discussing what happens if there is tevo vadai, if it is absolute tevo, where there's no question that the trumas and maaseros must be separated from it. We will now discuss maaser ani. This is the tithe that is given to a poor person. So remember, when one has produce that grew in Eretz Yisrael, the first thing that must be separated is truma. That's done in all 6 years of the 7-year cycle. After that, they must separate maaser rishon, and that is meant to be given to the Levi, but it does not have kedusha, does not have any sanctity to it. And then there's a requirement to separate either maaser ani or maaser sheni, depending on which year it is. Now, we pointed out previously that maaser ani is 10% of the net volume of what's left in the produce after taking off the amounts for truma and maaser rishon, and that which is separated does not have kedusha to it, and therefore it may be eaten by anyone. So he says, maaser ani mutar ba'achila. The tithe that is given to a pauper is permissible to be eaten. Vitzarech litno la'ani, and it must be given to a poor person. Ubisafek. And in a situation where there's a doubt about whether or not maaser ani has to be separated, yesh chilukei dinim binogeya lanesina. So there are different halachas regarding giving it. V'af kishelo nasan. But even if a person did not give the maaser ani to the ani, yotzu haperos mitivlam. So the produce is no longer in the category of tevel. Now, how about a poor person who has his own produce? So what does he do? Does he have to separate it? So the rule is, ani hamafris maaser ani miperosav. A poor person that separates maaser ani from his own produce, nosno laani acher. So he has to give it to a different poor person. Ironically, the other poor person can give his maaser ani back to the first one. But everyone has to give maaser ani away to someone who's poor. Now, it sometimes can happen that the giving of maaser ani can be overwhelming to a farmer. And in order to alleviate some of the burden and to make it easier to do the mitzvah of giving maaser ani, as well as to make it easier for the poor person as well, Chazal instituted a financial arrangement that can be made with the poor person in advance. So let's see halacha hey. He says, "Kidei lahokel al mitzvos hanesina," in order to alleviate, to make easier the mitzvah of giving maaser ani, and by the way, the same will apply to maaser rishon, tiknu chachmeinu zechronim levracha, our sages have instituted, ofen zeh, the following scenario. Malva meirosh ma'os la'ani. The farmer should initially lend money to the poor person. Ubimasa Rishon, and in regard to Masa Rishon, he should do the same thing, the Levi. Umasna imo, and then the farmer should stipulate with the pauper, Shakol Masa Shiyir lo the Yisrael, that any tithe that the Yisrael has, meaning any time that the farmer has to give Masa Ani, Yakna lo, he will acquire it on behalf of the poor person, which means like this. The farmer will separate 10% of his produce, and he'll say that he's giving it over to the poor person, meaning it will be done with a kinyan, with a form of acquisition. He says in parentheses, Ali de Acha, which requires a third party, Haroi Lizakos, who is eligible to acquire it on behalf of the poor person. Obviously, this can't be a child. Behagbah, using the means of acquisition of lifting it, Ukadoma, or another method of acquisition. So now, the produce is technically belongs to the poor person, even though he's never seen it. V'yachse v'ichenu la'atzmo, and now the farmer is going to go ahead and purchase it back from the poor person, bishar hazo sha'oso sha', at the low price of that early time in the year, tumuras chelek mihachov, in place of a portion of the debt. So this is a little bit complex, so let's just clarify it. Let's take an example. Let's say the farmer is anticipating that he might have up to 10,000 shekel worth of produce that needs to be given to the poor person. So what he does is he lends the pauper 10,000 shekel, and then each time he has to separate Maisa Oni because one of his crops is ready to be sold. So what he does, he separates the 10% and he officially gives it, he acquires it on behalf of the poor person, and then he takes the value of it based on a good low price, and he just deducts that from the amount of money that the poor person has to pay back to him. And then he can do whatever he wants with the fruit. He goes on to say, Halvazu lo nitendesli tova ide amalva, this loan cannot be demanded back from the lender. Why? Because he's getting fruit instead of the money that's owed to him. Now the farmer is happy to do this because he is basically buying his fruit back at an inexpensive price, and he also doesn't have to go through the trouble of transferring it to the domain of the poor person. The poor person is happy because he's getting the money in advance, and even though he's getting a smaller amount of value than the fruit, but ultimately the money is guaranteed up front and he knows it's going to come to him. So the text says, Bishas Haava, at the time of the loan, Rishai Likboa Imaani Mechir Namoch Laperos, it is permissible to establish with the pauper a low price for the fruit. And this way it is going to be beneficial to the farmer. Because of Chazonish, the Chazonish writes, Shekoze Bitnai, all of this will only work, Shekedai La'oni L'kabel Schum Zeh Miad B'makom HaPeres Basid. This is only if it is worthwhile for the poor person to receive this price in order to get the money in advance instead of getting the fruits at a later date. In other words, if you're going to make a price that is ridiculously low, so then it's not worthwhile for the Adi. He said he'd rather wait until he gets the fruits, which are worth much more value. So this is the requirement that the Chazanish says, is that it has to be a price that's somewhat reasonable so that it's worthwhile for the Adi to want to make this deal. And it is also worthwhile for the farmer to want to do it. We are now ready to discuss giving Maisa Sheni. So just to review, Maisa Sheni is 10% of the produce that grew in Eretz Yisrael on years when Maisa Oni is not given, and of course when it's not Shemitah. So the rule is that the 10% of produce, and that's by the way in volume, has to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten within Yerushalayim. Now Maisa Sheni, similar to Terumah, has Kedusha to it. So although it is not limited to Kahanim nor to Levim. It can be really be eaten by anyone. It must be eaten in Yerushalayim in a state of Tahara. So that means that both the food and the eater have to be Tahar. The Torah takes into account the fact that someone might live far away from Yerushalayim, and therefore it will be difficult to bring so much produce to Yerushalayim. So the Torah allows a person to redeem the fruits onto money, and then to take the money to Yerushalayim and spend it on foods or drinks, which would then have the Kedusha, and then they can be consumed by someone who's Tahar in Yerushalayim. If this is done, then the original fruits, once they are redeemed, they lose their Kedusha, and they can be eaten by anyone, even though they are not Tahar. Now, as we've pointed out, today no one is assumed to be Tahar, so therefore we have to go about this much differently. So the Halacha Vav says, Maisa Sheni Oser Ba'achila Ad Sheyifdenu. The fruits that were separated as Maisa Sheni are prohibited to be eaten until they are redeemed. Dine HaPidyon Mivayorim Lahalon B'Simen Hei. The laws of this redemption will be explained later on in Simen Hei. Halacha Zayin. Be Yerushalayim, if someone is in Yerushalayim, Begvuloseh HaKadumin, based on the early borders of Yerushalayim, Ein Poldin Maisa Sheni Tahar, one cannot redeem Maisa Sheni, which is Tahar. Why? Because the whole purpose for the redemption was to allow someone who lives out of Yerushalayim to be able to transport his Maisa Sheni to Yerushalayim. But if someone is in Yerushalayim, assuming that the Maisa Sheni is Tahar, he would not be allowed to redeem it. Ulachain Yesh Omrim, there are some who say, Shemutar L'tamei Es HaTevel Kodem HaFrasha, that it is permissible to make the tevel tamei before doing the separating. Yartiveno bimayim v'yigabo. The way you make something tamei is by getting it wet and then simply touching it, because since the person is assumed to be tamei, the water will transmit the tumah onto the fruits. For us, ha'maisa sheni tamei, then the maisa sheni would be tamei. The Efshal lift also, and it is possible to redeem it. Now, there's no question that once the Hafrasha, once the separation has already been done, then the Maisa Sheni, if it is Tahar, may not be intentionally made Tameh. But according to this opinion, since the separation was not done, and there's nothing here that yet has Kedusha, it is all Tevel. So in its Tevel state, there would be nothing wrong with intentionally making it Tameh. Now the Chazon Ish is even more lenient than this. The Kosef Chazon Ish, She'efsha l'tamo b'zman hazeh, af acha hafrasha. Today, he says, when we cannot eat the Maisa Sheni in Yerushalayim because the people aren't Tahar, it would be permissible to be metame, to intentionally be metame the produce even after the separation, meaning it's already in the state of being Maisa Sheni, which means it has Kedusha. Mishum hefseido shel Maisa Sheni, because of the loss of the Maisa Sheni, because there's nothing that can be done with it. Ubinogeya lehefsin muat, and if it's a small amount of loss, meaning it's not something so valuable anyhow. Ayin Shom, see what the Chazon Ish writes regarding whether or not it would be permissible to intentionally make it Tameh. Now, we just have to point out that we have not yet discussed how the Hafrasha, how the separation of Trumas and Maisvos should be done today when someone purchases produce in their supermarket or in the shuk. We also have yet to discuss how Maisa Sheni should be redeemed. And the other discussion, which is coming up in the next siman, will be regarding how to determine which year of Maiser is the produce, and thereby so we know which Trumas and Maisros would be required from it.